Angus, our favourite beer?
The Mexican beer.
The Mexican beer, man.
What's it called?
Welcome to the WAFM 99 Radio Show, episode one today. Yes, season premiere of season 27. And I've got some great songs lined up. It's a great show lined up for you. Natalie Jean, all the way from Maryland, my dear friend, is joining me. She's an award-winning singer, multiple nominations around the world. And we're going to be talking about music, life, her new songs, and the music industry, and have a rant together about what's wrong in the industry. So I think you're going to enjoy this. So stick around for that. It's right in the middle of the show. But without further ado, let me introduce to you our certified indie songs of the week today. So as is tradition, every premiere episode or finale episode, either one, I usually play a song from my catalog that has done really well. Like, for example, today I'm going to be playing a song from my Garage Sessions Volume 1 album. Also, because Volume 2 is being recorded as we speak, okay? It's a very special album that I love doing because I add four of my original songs from back in the day that I redo, and I add four or five cover songs that the fans specifically have chosen. And on social media, they'll be like, oh, can you sing this song or that song? And then we sort of take a poll and decide on which songs I should sing, you know? So these are tracks selected by artists. The cover songs are still being sort of chosen, so if you would like to be part of this album and you know, put in your vote for what song I should sing for this album, please just go to Garage Sessions. It's a group on Facebook, and you can just become a member, and or just, you know, send me a message on Facebook or send my team a message, and we'll sort of add you into the group. Okay, so anyway, so today I'm going to be playing Don't Let Me Down, the Beatles cover that I did. And this album that it was on hit the Billboard Blues album charts. It came in at number 14. We never expected it to hit any charts for that matter. It was just like a fun album we did during COVID that I just sort of released for my fans, very specifically, like a request album. And for it to hit the Billboard Blues album charts at 14 was massive, because it didn't do the top 10, it did the top 15. I mean, I've had top 10s with albums that we specifically were pushing for, you know. But this was something just out of the blue. It was so much fun. So Don't Let Me Down, the kicks off the show, okay? After that, we've got Max Aiza with her song Forever. She's going to be on the Goa Chill Out Zone Volume 13, which releases in a week or so. So keep an eye out for that. And we've got radio plugs from a lot of our artists today. So I think you guys are going to love that. Then we've got a band called, or an artist called Michael For Days. I think we've played this guy before with a different song maybe. And the song is called Broken Wings, a very rock song. So check it out. I think you might like it. Good guitar work on it. Then there's another band that I really like, very sort of, what shall we call it? I wouldn't say completely jazz. It's kind of Latin and it's really cool. The band is called The Hip Raiders. And these guys are going to be on the Independent Number Ones Volume 14, which releases on World Music Day later this year in June, I believe. So let me know what you guys think about this, okay? Because every artist on our show is eligible for the WOA Music Awards that happens in January. So these guys, you know, the more you vote for them or the more you sort of comment on our episode links on social media, etc., and talk about a certain artist or a song, the better their chances of winning an award, which is quite a big award, really, to be fair. So I think please do support all the songs, all the artists that you discover on our radio show. After the Hip Raiders with Emotional Tsunami, that's the name of the song, we have, of course, Natalie Jean joining me live from Maryland. We're going to be chatting, having a great time. And then we're going to play Natalie Jean's new single called The What For. A very interesting story to this song, which we talk about on the interview, so stick around. After Natalie Jean, we've got Scott McPherson, one of my favorite sort of country-ish artists. Okay, his music is very country-ish, like Americana country. It's kind of like on the border, on the sort of border of one or the other sort of thing. And this song is called Just Because, which is also going to be on the WOA compilation, Goa Chill Out Zone, Volume 13. He sent in a radio plug, so I think you're going to love listening to all these lovely radio plugs by the artists. After Scott McPherson, we've got Paul Trugman with his song No Romeo. This is a great track by Paul Trugman. He's got many songs that we've played through the years, and he's been on compilations of WOA, and he's going to be with another song on the Goa Chill Out Zone again. So this is the only place you can get to hear the songs, the original versions, on the radio show before the compilation actually releases with remastered versions. After Paul Trugman, last but not least, is one of my new favorite artists, Melanie Giorgio, fantastic composer from the UK. And this song is called Rainbows, which is actually a featured song on our Goa Chill Out Zone, the remastered version, which is coming out soon. So that's the show for today. I hope you enjoy it. And stick around. I'll be back in the middle of the show chatting with Natalie Jean. Have a great day. Ciao.
Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Nobody ever loved me like she does. Oh, she does. Yes, she does. And if somebody loved me like she did, oh, she do me. Yeah, she does. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. I'm in love for the first time. Don't you know it's gonna last? It's a love that lasts forever. It's a love that has no past. Don't let me down. And from the first time that she really done me, oh, she done me, yeah, she done me good. I guess nobody ever really done me, oh, she done me, ha, she done me good. Don't let me down.
This is Max Ayaza, and you're tuned in to the WOAFM 99 show with Oliver Sean. Stay tuned to hear my new single, Forever, which will be featured on the multiple number one chart-tapping compilation series, Goa Chill Out Zone, Volume 13, releasing this April.
To live with all the seasons you give, where have you been? survive. If somehow, babe, I lost you in my life. For a while, I was so low. And just like that, you picked me up and turned me upside down. For a while, it's been so slow. Now that I have you, I will never ever let you go.
This is Tito from the Hip Waiters. You are tuned into the WOA FM 99 show with Oliver Sean. Stay tuned to hear our single, Emotional Tsunami, which will be featured on the number one charting compilation series, Independent Number Ones, Volume 14, coming soon.
Speed winds, so many feet. like a tidal wave, emotional tsunami. Once I start thinking, lies substituted for truth, your manner deceiving, can't take it to higher ground, with gravity's pull constantly keeping me down. So many feelings, like a tidal wave, emotional tsunami. Trembling, or am I shaking? Nerve bending, sensitized. My skin is burning. Waves building intensity. An ocean I feel about to crash over me. So many feelings, like a tidal wave, emotional tsunami.
Alright folks, so today I'm excited for another fantastic WOA FM 99 special because I've got another great friend of mine from our very special Grammy group, and it's none other than the award-winning singer-songwriter Natalie Jean. Natalie, how you doing?
I'm doing great! So, fantastic!
Where are you right now?
Right now, I am sitting in my car doing this interview.
Good.
But while it's raining outside.
It's raining in America? Which part of America are you in right now?
So right now I'm in Maryland, okay. And it's seriously been raining all morning long.
You know, I've been meaning to go to Maryland on my last tour. I did New York and then I did Detroit and stuff like that. And I didn't go to Maryland because my... one of the rappers is a very good friend of mine called, he just calls himself PM. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know why he does that, but he's PM. His name is Dante, but he calls himself PM. And he was on my song New York, and just amazing. I need you to connect with the guy. He's just phenomenal. And
awesome.
And he flew to Chicago to do gigs with me while I was on tour. And instead of me going there, and he came all the way and we did some amazing gigs. Yeah. But tell me more about the scene in Maryland. How's the music scene there?
It's very... I'm always so busy working that right. I don't even know anymore. But Maryland is very quiet. There's not really a big music scene. Everything happens in Baltimore, Maryland, yep. or Washington, D.C. So there's a huge scene in those areas.
Oh, so you're not in Baltimore?
No. So I'm in a place called Wheaton, Kensington, Maryland, which is basically a suburbs.
Okay.
But you know, I go to Baltimore from time to time. I just don't like the drive. It's like 45 minutes and it feels like it's forever when you're driving.
But you know what? Maryland is not that far from New York, is it?
No. Okay. It's about 4 hours by 4 hours driving. Mm-hmm. I think two and a half hours to 3 hours by train. Okay. And then 4 hours by bus. Yeah.
Cool. So what's that new song you've just released that we're gonna be playing? What for? Is that what it is?
The what for? So this is a funny story. So
yeah, tell me, please.
So
I want to know.
Kit Wakely has a Christmas in July party that he has in July every year.
I know. And he invites me, but I can never get there in July. So
it's a lot of fun. And so Nikki, Chris, and I were sitting with one of our mutual friends with Kit. And the guy was like, well, I got to go. I'm going to give my wife the what for. And we were just like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
And then we got the clue what the what for was. And we were like, oh, my God, that would be such a great song.
Okay.
So then I started writing the lyrics. And then, you know, Nikki and I got on a Zoom and we started writing the lyrics together. We collaborated. I'm like a country Americana artist.
Right.
I said, okay, I'm going to sing it. We're going to do this. And then so I wanted it to be something like country rock, something that's fun.
Yeah.
Now, this is not my normal way of writing. You know, I write social impact songs. I don't really delve into the sex, blah, 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 that kind of thing. But I thought, listen, we've been through a pandemic. We've been through a lot of things this past couple of years. Why not do something fun?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's done pretty well. It charted in the UK iTunes charts. I've gotten a bunch of reviews on it.
Nice.
And so I need to take the time to email and write and market and promote and contact all these other people. So basically the country music is a very, very different dynamic. It's an interesting dynamic, that scene.
You're talking about you not doing any social stuff and you would do sexy stuff and whatever. I think you should do sexy stuff. I mean, have you seen your pics with the freaking cowboy hat and stuff? It's freaking sexy.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
No, I mean, I plan to delve more in that because... What I like about the song is reality. People sometimes go out, they have a good time.
Yeah.
It's all about freedom and being who that person is and not caring about what people think. I think that people need to live like that.
But are you going to tell us what the what for means, though?
So what the what for basically is like you go out, you know, you're looking, it's like basically a one night stand. Now, if you're married and you're just like, oh, I'm going to give my wife the what for. I'm going to give my husband the what for. You're basically going to give them some booty.
Hang on a second. So he's at a party with all of you there and he leaves you to give Melissa the what for. Are you kidding me?
It was his friend Andy.
Okay.
Was saying that he was gonna give the what for to his wife.
Okay, because Kit's gonna be on the show like on Thursday. He's gonna be doing a chat on Thursday, and I was gonna be like, dude, in the middle of a party, are you serious, man?
Right, that folks, would have been funny.
Yeah, let me tell everybody who Nikki Chris is. A lot of my fans know Nikki Chris because she was part of my Real Indie project. That hit number 8 on the Billboard Blues charts, right? The Devil Is Back. So Nikki does a lot of writing now, isn't she? She's collaborating a lot with a lot of artists, I believe.
So she's collaborating with a lot of artists and she's working on a new album. So I think the album is supposed to come out in April.
Really?
It's going to be a rock album. Yeah, I've heard some of her songs and it's going to be fantastic because she knows how to sing.
Exactly.
And write.
I'm gonna give a message her as well, get her on the show. It'll be great to get her album out here because, you know, through this show, we've got so many sort of listeners in the UK and stuff. It really helps getting that music out here. And I wanted to talk about independent music, right? So, I mean, who better than us to talk about that, right? So what is your... So what is your... I want fans to understand the difference and the quality of, when I say independent music, it does not mean new acts who are not signed. It means artists who make a conscious decision to be independent, you know, with their music. And the amount of work it takes for us to get that music out there and how many hats we wear and all that stuff, you know.
Yes.
So how hard has it been for you and do you enjoy it? Or if you got a chance to be signed up now at this stage after having this the kind of success and all, would you sign up with a major?
I love like music has been my saving grace. I love it. It just gives me life. And being an independent, you're right. We do everything. I'm the promoter, marketer. I do all my social media. I book gigs. I mean, I write all my songs. I work with a music producer, but I've been producing stuff with him as well. I've been doing this for almost 13 years now. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten the groove of everything. Yeah. I've written songs for other people. In fact, there's a song that I wrote for somebody like 5-6 years ago, and he's still working. He wants to do several different versions of it. So that'll go out hopefully sometime this year.
Nice.
And then I'm also always trying to help other people, especially independent artists, find their niche, understand their branding. You know, we have to be on TikTok. It's just a different world. So social media is a huge part of the whole promo and marketing thing. You know, during the pandemic, I did this, it was called TikTok Happy University, where they were telling, oh, you should do at least 5 videos a day. But that's a lot. I mean, literally, some people just get on there. Yeah. I mean, it is. Some people get on there and they do nonsense.
Exactly.
But my TikTok is very interesting. So sometimes when I post my music, it'll get some views. But when I talk about things going on in the world, that's when it gets crazy. Like I did something on the last Grammys where Jay-Z talked about the Recording Academy. Right. And that got 87,000 views.
Okay.
That's the stuff that people love about me with my TikTok. With my Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, it's all about my music and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, you always have to find different ways of expressing your music. And one of the biggest things about the music industry, what people don't seem to understand, is that the industry is looking for authenticity.
Correct.
Don't get me wrong. Some of the labels still want people to just, you know, do bubblegum pop music or country or whatever, just to make that music. But what they don't get is that the audience is actually looking for authenticity.
Absolutely.
And what the pandemic did is it allowed for people to really, you know, go on TikTok, social media, Spotify, the different streaming platforms, and look for independent artists. They discovered other people. And they're just like, oh my gosh. What they get from independent artists is people that they can relate to. Yeah. You know, they're just like, this artist gets me. You know, let's talk about Beyonce. Beyonce has songs that have 25 songwriters. She does write her own music, but you know what I mean? That's crazy.
Did you know that song, right? I love making fun of that. I mean, it's one line. It's one line. The entire song, it's got 25 songwriters and 50 producers. I mean, what?
Exactly.
What the hell? You know?
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what sets us apart.
Yeah.
That's what sets us apart from mainstream artists.
Yeah.
Now, I look at somebody like Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. I mean, she understands her brand, but she actually does it better than all of them.
Yeah.
Because she makes it seem as though, you know, her fans could call her up and say, girl, listen, this is what happened to me today. Yeah. She makes it, I read an article. She said, it makes it seem like that she's their friend. So she knows what she's doing.
Right.
But the whole thing is, and then she's relatable because of, you know, she talks about her relationships. Like Adele, people love her because she's just natural. And so when people got angry that Adele won against Beyonce, they don't get it. For me, Beyonce sings at you.
Right.
While Adele sings to you. There's a different thing. And I think independents do that very well. We sing to the audience.
Correct.
We want them engaged in our music, you know. But if somebody were to come to me and say, oh, Natalie, we want to sign you, I actually would say no, because a lot of those labels, they take a lot of your own creativity away from you. And I want to write and sing about what I want to write and sing about.
Absolutely.
I don't want somebody to constrain me at all.
I learned that at a younger age, you know, because when I was signed to Sony, and we made this album in India, right? And I was composing the music, but I couldn't write the lyrics because it was in the Indian language. So I had this other songwriter. But I was fine with that. But once we went into the studio, and I was like, I want to do this. I'm going to add this. Because I always had a studio since I was a kid, you know. And they were like, no, you need to bring this guy in for this part, and we need to bring that guy in. And I just lost it, you know. And I was like, that's it. One album, I'm out of here, you know. And I was like, I need to be independent, exactly. Man. I can't handle this shit. It was terrible.
I know.
Absolutely. So what about...
I know.
So there's this one thing that keeps coming up, you know. Like my mom's... I've made her a producer now. She's produced a lot of my stuff and a co-producer. And she's head of marketing in WOA and things like that. So she's been in the music industry for a while. So I get to bounce ideas off of her a lot, you know. So we've been talking a lot about the Grammys. Now, you and I, we're both Grammy voting members for...
Right.
Several years. How do you look at the Grammys now? I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, there was nothing bigger than that, right? For me, it was, wow, the Grammy Awards, right? Now, being in that scene, is it even possible for guys like you and me who write, say, a pop song or a rock song or, you know, a dance song? Could you even consider that you'd get a Grammy no matter how many people vote for you? Would the majors let you?
No.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
This is a source of contention for me for the past couple years.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give you a story. So, I don't know, this was like 7-8 years ago. I don't even remember anymore. But when Bill Frameth was the VP of the awards department, he came to Maryland and they had this session where they were trying to educate people how to become members. Mm-hmm. And so I went because I wanted to see what they were saying. So during the part, there was a man that stood up and asked, a young man asked, you know, how do you market, promote? How do you compete against, you know, the mainstream artists? He says, well, you know, he talked about it. At that time, we had Grammy groups. He said, well, they are these Grammy groups, but they do block voting. But he said, it's basically about promoting and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, well, you know, here's the point. Okay. Here's the funky part.
Yeah.
He goes, but you would be competing against Beyonce.
Yeah. Right.
So it's not likely.
Right.
He said that.
Yeah.
He said that. So, and I stood up after the Q&A. I was heated, but I was respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I'm part of those groups and we don't block vote. The reason we have those groups is because we are independent artists that do everything ourselves. And we don't have the budget to do everything.
Yep.
So we created a space where we can share music and people can just listen to. We're not block voting. We're not telling people to vote. We're not going against the rules.
Exactly.
And the Academy knows about this. But apparently there used to be moles in those groups that would go back.
Yeah.
And that's what actually Bill Frayman said. He said people would come back to them and say that we were doing all this stuff. After that thing happened, they disbanded the groups. I'm like, look, you guys, you got to get rid of these groups. They don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, you know, most of us either use campaigns or we email one another to be heard and seen. But here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. There are rules. I recently heard about a rule that a lot of people don't know about. That, okay, so the Recording Academy gave all of us these guidelines to follow in regards to the Grammys.
Right.
And one of the things that says, if you are linked... If voting members are linked on social media, it would be deemed as block voting.
Are you kidding me?
And that is, I'm not joking. I highlighted Avid.
Wow.
And that is ridiculous because mainstream artists are linked through through social media.
Yeah.
All of us are. All of us. Everybody in the world is linked through social media. So you can't really use that.
It's just ridiculous.
For example, in the pop category, when you're voting, blah, 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 there are 900 plus submissions. Nobody can listen to all those submissions.
Correct.
So what happens in that category? People are going to listen to the people that they know.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Okay. Nobody knows the other indie artists that have written better songs than some of these mainstream artists. They just don't know.
Yep.
And the Recording Academy does not make an effort to really support independence. So recently I went to this thing called Power and Women.
Okay.
And they said, oh, they were like 50% of independents were nominated. Here's the thing that they're missing.
Mm-hmm.
Those independents that were nominated this year were on labels.
Exactly.
They refused to talk about the indies that are doing everything themselves. Is there a possibility for us to get Grammys? I don't think so.
Yep.
Until something has to change. Now, the Recording Academy was founded by labels to promote their artists.
Exactly.
So I get I get it. They want to promote their thing, but there is an unfairness in regards to how indies like us. Let me give you another thing. And somebody brought this up to me the other day. They said that, do you see all the emails they send out? I said, all the emails they send out, they promote mainstream artists. Exactly. On their website, they promote mainstream artists.
Yep.
But that is actually block voting.
Exactly.
Because in their rules, in the rules, they say you cannot promote an album or a single or project that you are not on.
Exactly.
So that means that if somebody goes and watches the website or reads these emails, they could say, oh my God, the Recording Academy loves them. Then I need to like them as well. I'm just going to pay attention to this. They're Billboard magazine. There are rules and regulations for that. There are a lot of mainstream artists that put ads in that.
Yeah. Yep.
That went against the rules and they allowed them to do it.
Exactly.
We put an ad in there this past year and they dinged us for the same thing they allowed the other people.
It's
so
basically
still an unfairness.
Yeah, yeah, but I think it's the labels own the Grammys. You know, they literally own. When they talk about block voting, okay? Now, Sony and Universal, it's two groups, all right? So if it's a Sony artist, aren't they getting block voting from every freaking Sony executive who's a member? You get me? They all go, And when it's the album of the year or the song of the year, Sony or Universal will be like, we will this year support Harry Styles, not Beyonce. So let's everybody vote for Harry Styles. And they know this. They know they're going to win it. They
know.
And so for us to play along to their rules and give them our hard, you know, a real sort of a mental time in listening and being, you know, real about it. It's ridiculous. They're making fools of us, you know. They're making fools of the real voting members.
Exactly.
You know. It's really sad.
Exactly.
It's really sad.
And what's sad about it is the body of the voting members primarily are independent artists.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Yeah, that's my point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so without us, they would have no one to vote. Because even as Jay-Z stood on the stage and disparaged the Recording Academy, he made some valid points.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, there's some people that shouldn't be in certain categories, this, that, and the other. The other piece of it is this, okay? And this happened this past year. This happens every year. So one of the main things that people are not aware of is that when you submit music to the for the Grammys, there's a box that we check, okay? It says that a lot of people are not, they just don't know what this box is. I always explaining this to somebody who's like, really? I said, yes. We check a box that says we allow the Academy to place our music in the appropriate category.
Yeah.
But here's the problem with that. They're not placing a lot of them in the appropriate category.
Absolutely.
So that's very false. That's false and misleading.
Yeah.
You know, they tell you, oh, you know, well, it didn't have this. Actually, they don't even explain why. They're like, oh, we just moved it. That's it. That's it. There's no due process. So this year, Kit and some other people, they put out a proposal saying that when something is moved, you need to allow for due process. There's got to be an appeal process, this, that, and the other.
Yep.
Because what they're not understanding is that for Sangeeta, they told her a couple of weeks before the ballots came out, she spent thousands of dollars on marketing.
Right.
And in my opinion, the Recording Academy should actually refund her marketing fee. You cannot. 2 weeks, because they said last year, oh, we're going to tell people early on if we move this, da, 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 blah, blah. And they didn't.
Yeah.
Well, and they didn't. So.
Yeah. And also another thing about it is it's based on what the major labels let the non-signed artists compete in. You get me?
That's
so it'd
right.
be like, oh, okay. This year or for the next few years, we'll let them do it in this. And then they'll be like, oh, you know what? There's a bit of money to be made here. So now we will take it on.
That's right.
For example, do you remember the word indie? Do you remember the word indie? What was indie?
Yes.
Indie was independent. Now, indie is
That's
Green
right.
Day. Green Day is freaking indie. You know, what sense does that make?
Yep.
You know, so now they go, okay, indie is now the key in word. So let's make that into a genre that we control. And there you go. So that's why when I promote our stuff, I always go, listen, guys, when I say indie, I mean independent, not that genre that the majors have taken over like the British taking over India, for example. You know, just a metaphor.
Right.
But, you know,
right.
That's, yeah, it's just, in the end, you know, I think if we just concentrate on shit like that, we're going to change our music just for them, because that's what they want you to do.
That's right.
You know, they want you not to make a great pop song, because then they don't have an answer for why that person didn't make it, you know. So they want you to start changing your genre so that you'll go, oh, you know what, if I make new age, I have a chance. So I'll stop making pop rock and I'll make new age.
Exactly.
And that's it. You've lost. You're not who you used to be. That is the real you. And you've given it up for a freaking Grammy. Fuck it. You know, you don't need it anymore.
Exactly.
It's my show. I can say fuck it. You know what I mean?
That's right. You know, you nailed it.
Exactly.
So a lot of people have been doing is like, okay, I can't get a Grammy in this, so I'm going to switch my genres.
Yeah.
But what they don't get is the Academy. So, okay, in specific genres, there are some people that are so wedded to that genre. They're like, if you're not this kind of artist, if you're not that kind of artist, we're not going to accept you. I know blues is like this. Yeah. Jazz is like that. Countries like that.
Correct.
You can switch and do an album that's new age and you were a rock artist.
Yep.
People are not going to look at you as a new age artist. They're going to say, okay, they can see that this is your attempt just to get a Grammy.
Exactly.
And that's a problem for me. I hate when people, they rush to do an album or a single and then they submit it for a Grammy.
Right.
You haven't promoted, you haven't marketed, you haven't done anything.
Exactly.
So then that means that you don't really care about music. I did a post last year or the year before last. I said, people need to really sit down and remember why they got into the music.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
The dynamic has changed.
Yeah, there are songs you used to write when you were not so involved. I'm just speaking generally, hypothetically.
Right.
You know, that you were not involved in this so much. You know, as a kid, for example, when I was 10 years old, 11 years old, and then when I was a teenager, I was writing music, even recently. I would write songs when I was not that involved in the Grammys. You know what I mean? And I would write a song because, oh, I want to write a song. I don't care if it's country. And I'm not thinking about competing with Jason Aldean. I'm not thinking about that. I'm just writing a song because that means something to me, you know. And those songs are the best songs you ever write because they're purely for music, nothing else. You're not thinking about anything else, you know.
And I get it. I mean, Bill Framis had even said that during the Grammy, and this was several years ago, that they were having a hard time trying to place the music because a lot of people were meshing the genres. You know, they were combining the genres together. Uh-huh. Even Ruby Marchand, who the person that spoke at the thing that I went to, she said, it's getting a little bit tougher because people are meshing the genre. They're creating new genres and stuff like that.
Yep.
So they're trying to fit. But the thing is, their rule is if something has to have at least 55% of whatever.
Yeah.
So they shouldn't have a problem with it. Just do it.
Yep.
Talk to the person that submitted the music.
Yeah.
You know, this, that, and the other. Instead of... So here's the other piece of everything, okay?
Yeah.
When you want to become a member of the Recording Academy, they're saying, we consider you a peer, you know music, you know this, that, and the other. You submit your music, and then they tell you you don't know music.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're going to send you an email saying, it's time to vote because you know music.
Yeah.
So which is it? Do I know music or I don't know music?
And,
you just told me I didn't.
And tell me this, Natalie. Those guys who are doing the segregation of the genres or whatever... Do they know music better than me or you?
Exactly.
Who've been doing music for 30 freaking years, you know, who've got
awards
and whatever. And this maybe is a freaking intern sitting there going, I'll put this here, I'll put this there. And he knows more music than me. Are you kidding me?
Well, that's the thing. So, but I've been told that the people that have been placed in the, you know, the listening committees are well-versed in music.
Yeah, well-versed. Yeah, well-versed is the word. Yeah.
Yeah. But I told them, I said, but you know, people can make mistakes.
Yeah.
They may not understand what they're listening to.
Exactly.
And nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
But what I'm seeing is that you're moving people in categories that don't make sense. Sangeeta's album was a new age album, and then you put her in global music. That's just nonsensical. But I said, I know what happened there.
Yeah.
You all think people don't see what is happening
Correct.
Behind the scenes.
Correct.
And we see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And what about the fact that in these genres, right? Now I'm talking about mm-hmm. those genres that they allow us to win in. Okay, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That the majors and the so-called Grammy teams allow independents to compete in and have mm-hmm. a chance of winning. How about the fact that the same artists keep winning in that same category and the same artists keep getting nominated? What's that about?
I say the same thing every year.
Yeah.
I say the same thing every year.
Exactly.
I said at this time it becomes crazy because mm-hmm. it seems like the same people are winning mm-hmm. every single time in those categories.
Yeah.
And if people keep seeing that, they're going to accuse the independent artists of block voting.
Yeah. And isn't it? Isn't it just when you do that campaign to be the most popular, isn't it about popular. Just being more freaking popular?
So,
you know,
that's right.
Yeah.
So one of the things I kept telling the Academy and other people, I said that the Academy can't even prove block voting. They would have to come to each artist and say, did you listen to the mm-hmm. album or single? Did you really like it? There's no real proof. It doesn't even matter if people go to the same party. You have to have substantial proof to say that this person really didn't like the song. We can vote for our friends if we like the single, we like the album, this, that, and the other.
And don't they have the right, for example, right, in blues, for example, which is usually the category me or Trevor will put our music
right.
in, right? So if I know this can be true, right? But I want you to tell me that's what I'm thinking is correct. If, say, I get more votes than the Black Keys, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And Black Keys is, say, signed to Sony or whoever. I don't give a shit. Whoever they're signed to.
Right.
And they go, oh, no, he's independent. He hasn't promoted his album with the millions that Sony has put into, say, the Black Keys or whoever. So this is block voting, which means he's disqualified. Which means they can do whatever the hell they want to do.
Well, yeah, they basically, because from the way that I understand is the top 15 and then they dwindle it down to the top five. At one point, I was told that the people that make the decisions on the people that are the top five, they used to take people off, add their own people in there.
Yeah, yeah, I know that. Yeah, that's for damn sure.
So basically, they can remove it if they see something. Well, how did this person get that?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is what they're not understanding, once again, is that they say in transparency,
which is a laugh,
that they've taken out these committees.
Yeah.
And so, in taking out the committees, it should be about the popular vote. Yet, when an independent artist, indies, get way more votes than somebody that's popular,
then it's not popular, is it? Yeah, exactly. They question it.
How did this happen? Well, if it's based on popular vote, it can happen.
Yep.
That person campaigned their ass off.
Yep.
But then they're going to assume there's some kind of block voting. Then there's got to be an investigation. So again, it's still not fair. They're still accusing indie artists of doing something wrong when they have great music. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So
this is crazy. Oh, well, you know what? I'm so glad we chatted, Natalie, because we really are on the same freaking wavelength, man, every time. I mean, when we met in Las Vegas for the last Grammys, we just connected, didn't we? We were like,
it was amazing,
man. I loved it. I just loved it. I can't wait to catch up again. But the fact that I'm opening my new music lounge, you know, like a live music venue and whatever, it's going to, for me personally, it's going to change certain things for me because I have my own place, you know. I can do stuff with musicians and my own world of making real music and promoting real music and not giving a damn about these majors. The hell with them, you know. I did my thing with them, and I know what it's all about, man. It's enough, you know. It's enough.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, and the music we listen to all the time on the radio and stuff. They control everything. I don't know what's gonna happen with the music industry, but we are the sort of the last stand. I like to think of
it. Amen.
The last
stand. That's right.
For real music, man. So what else are you working on, Natalie? Aside from the walk? Hey, well, tell me, I wanted to ask you about this. We might play this on another show. I'll be playing the What for today's show. But Blocked. I love that name that you put. Blocked. It was amazing. Tell me about that song.
So, you know, during the pandemic, people were, you know, people were antsy because they were inside for so long.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, people got into political conversations. People got into conversation about COVID. Mm-hmm. And so people were blocking people left and right. And I said, well, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
This is a real thing. So yeah. I said, why not write a country song about this and just make people laugh about it? But then people were like, that's true. But what's interesting with the song is that people have used it on TikTok to block other people.
Yeah.
But they've also used it in video sports. Like when a volleyball person blocks a shot.
Yes. Of course.
So I had like one video on Instagram that had 1 million views just by using my song. Yeah.
Wow.
Just by using my song.
That's amazing. So, that's fantastic.
So, I love that song. I love it a lot.
So what else are you working on now? Are you working on something new?
So right now I'm working with a couple of people on doing a cover of a song. I won't say the song yet.
Okay.
And it should be epic. You know, I'm working on another song with my aunt in regards to everything that's going on in Haiti, because that's where my family's from.
And oh, really?
Haiti,
oh, cool.
Yeah, and Haiti's in a crisis. It's just a mess.
Yeah.
I contacted Trevor Sewell, but I wanted to do a country blues song.
Mm-hmm.
And then I myself, I would like to do another album, but I want to release a single first, like another female kind of empowerment song that delves with a lot of issues. I'm still working out the kinks on that.
Yeah.
That's basically what I'm doing. Mm-hmm.
Nice. And tell people about your podcast. You've got a show that you release as well. Yeah. Let people get
so
that as
have,
well.
I have Chatting with Nat with Nikki Chris. She has Mixing It with Nikki Chris, and it's under our company, Sisters in Music.
Mm-hmm.
And so mine is a little bit different. You know, I don't edit anything. I want everything to be authentic. Plus, I don't have time for all that.
But that's what it's meant to be. A podcast is meant to be that.
Yes. Yes, authentic.
Yeah.
So I talk to the artists about their music, but I also talk to them about different things going on in the world and they get their views on certain things, you know, what they would write about, what they wouldn't. Do they understand their own brand?
Yeah.
Is it okay to want to be like another artist? So we talk about many, 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 many different types of things.
Nice.
And I enjoy it. And, you know, we have both men and women on our show.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And we, you know, the other thing that I'm working on for Sisters in Music is doing a Sisters in Music magazine.
Oh, yeah.
My friend Satoria is helping me do that.
Okay.
So, you know, we want to do more shows and get into the whole festival thing. And
nice.
We really want to support everybody, and, you know, specifically women and the men that support us and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important, you know, with country music and even the Recording Academy, you know, women are still in the back.
Correct.
You know, we're moving forward a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
but,
in country music?
We still need to... Oh, my God. Country music. A lot of people don't know this. So for the longest time, for every 10 men they would play one female.
No way.
Oh, yeah. The female country artists have been fighting for forever to be seen and heard. There are a lot of popular ones, but they fight, and there's just they're moving a little bit closer to, you know, getting a little bit of equality in regards to that.
May talk about the magazine that you're working on. Is it going to be a hard copy or just online?
No. So we're going to do a digital copy, you know, that people can read online.
Cool. Have you
eventually, we go do a hard copy.
Cool. Have you heard of Substack? Have you gotten into that at all?
No. What is Substack?
So Substack is this new site where top writers are you know, releasing newsletters and stuff like that. But it's like the new thing, you know. And I spoke to Charu. She's on my show today, and she's on tour in England.
Okay.
So you know, Charu used to write for the New York Times and stuff. Right?
Yes.
So she has started a Substack, and I'm like, you know what? That's such a great way for a musician, like a new outlet to write about stuff, you know. And I was thinking you'd do really well on Substack because within the independent Grammy scene, you're like a top figure there, you know. Everybody respects you there because you're like you know, those protesters, you know. You have a problem, contact Natalie. She'll sort it out. So I was thinking, if you write a Substack, you know, a lot of us will subscribe. You should look into that, Nat. I'm telling you. That's really cool.
I will.
Yeah,
I
definitely.
Will.
Because you can write about what's important to you. Like today, like we had like over a 40 minute chat, and we're talking about something that really it interests me so much that we talked about it. But I'm telling you, there'll be loads of other people who are readers, you know, who want to have read an article or whatever, and you could be open another platform for your voice, and a lot of people want to hear it, man. That could really work.
I will do that.
Yeah, definitely. So best of luck with your new single that's coming out. Right.
Thank you.
That's going to be the cover, you said.
Yes, there's going to be a cover. We're hoping to release it in May.
Okay. Cool. Send it over. I'll have that on the show.
I will definitely.
Awesomeness. And Natalie, before you go, you wanna plug in your social media to fans and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh, this is too much. Okay, let me see.
It's four major platforms. It's just four major platforms.
Oh my gosh, but it's like, on TikTok is Natalie Jean Music. Okay. I think I have two on Instagram, is Natalie J0819. And
explain that, please. Music. Why do you have two?
So I have two because when I first started out on Instagram, I started out with Natalie J0819, which is also my sister's birthday, and I like that. Okay. I want to keep it. Oh. Then somebody said, "Oh, you need to have a music one as well." Blah blah blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, "Okay, I will do the music one as." That's the only reason.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So Facebook is also Natalie Jean Music.
No. That one is Natalie Jean Obsession.
Oh, good
Obsession
Lord.
Was actually my first. Yeah, Natalie Jean Obsession.
Okay.
It was my first album, and I named it. I didn't understand the whole social media back then. That's why it's all messed up. And then X, which used to be Twitter, is NatNet7. See, it's totally different.
Oh my Lord.
I'm driving you crazy. It's NatNet7. I'm also. What's that thing for Instagram that's like Twitter?
What about TikTok?
TikTok is Natalie Jean Music.
Okay, so that's your main one now, isn't it? You're doing a lot of TikTok stuff.
Right, I just have one for TikTok. Good. And that.
Do you have a website as well, Nat?
Yes. So my website is www.natalie-jean.com.
I think, you know, it's best to always send fans to your website, isn't it? Because no matter what happens with social media and it changes and all that shit, you don't let them control you. You know, you control the narrative, you know. So always the website is so important for us.
Oh, that's cool. I know. I've got to update mine. And so, oh, boy. Yeah. I have so much to add that it's ridiculous. I just haven't had the time to do it.
Well, that's good. You're staying busy. That's freaking great.
Yeah, really definitely.
Good. Excellent. Natalie, it was so good having you on the show.
Thank you so much.
And on that note, we're going to play The What For. Now I know what it means, so I'm really enjoying that. The What For is coming up. All right, to Natalie, to everybody. Cheers.
To work. this is Scott McPherson in Nashville, Tennessee, and you're listening to WOA FM 99 with the one and only Oliver Sean. Stay tuned to hear my latest single, Just Because, which will be featured on the multiple number one chart-topping compilation series, Go Chill Out Zone, Volume 13, which will be released this April. Thanks for listening.
So afraid someone would take your heart just to break it in two. us. I think we're all born brave. I wish that I could take your fear away. No Romeo is ever gonna steal your heart if you don't let it show.
Melanie Georgiou, and you're tuned in to the WOA FM 99 show with Oliver Sean. Please stay tuned to hear my new single, Rainbows. This is going to be featured on Volume 13 of the Goa Chill Out Zone, releasing at the end of April. Thanks for listening.
No matter where I go, what I do, as he is again.